the present evil age, which is an age of the flesh, of sinful desires. Interestingly, it's also the age of law-keeping, trying to do our best to achieve God's favor. And it's the age of slavery and of death. And then he talks about a new age that those who have faith have been adopted into. It's an age of freedom from slavery. It's the age of the Spirit, and it's the age of righteousness by faith. Christians have been rescued from that present evil age, and yet we still live in it, surrounded by sin and temptation and trouble, like the soldier in Normandy, knowing victory is certain and yet daily facing the struggle against the enemy. And so the question is, how am I to live as I wait for the Jerusalem above, for my glorious future inheritance? So from the passage and from the Bible, the New Testament more generally, there are three things that I'd like us to see about how the Holy Spirit helps us to live and to make progress in this present age. So first, personal transformation. Have a look at verse 16 of chapter 5, page 1172. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you're not to do whatever you want. Paul says there's a battle going on within the Christian, a battle between the flesh, the sinful nature, and the Spirit. I wonder if you're aware of that battle going on within you. I certainly am. And actually, it's a mark of being a Christian that we face that battle. He says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and he lists some of those acts in verses 19 to 21. And if we look through the list, I'm sure we'll recognize particular things that we're tempted to. So for some of us, the temptation will be sexual immorality. For others, anger. For others, jealousy and envy. On the other hand, says Paul, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. A wonderful list of qualities the Spirit gives to God's children. And then he says, crucially, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He says, if you're trusting in Christ, you've already crucified your sinful nature. When you became a Christian, when you were born again, you killed the flesh. You said, that's not me anymore. That's not who I am. We're part of a new age, a new people. And we have a new power, the Spirit, who enables us to kill the flesh. We couldn't do it before. We couldn't resist temptation. But now the Spirit enables us to. Verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As we remember who we are, what God has made us, children looking forward to that future inheritance, as we ask the Spirit to transform us, so we fight and we change. Now, this is a vital work of the Spirit, but it doesn't seem very spectacular, does it? If we think of the work of the Spirit as what is immediate and spectacular, we'll miss this. Actually, it is spectacular. For the Spirit to help me grow in patience, for the Spirit to help me to lust less, for the Spirit to fill me with joy, those things are spectacular. We just don't see them as spectacular because they take time. I've said before that when I was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, I couldn't really avoid it, that as a kid I struggled with lust, and when I became a Christian, I crucified that desire. I said, no, that's not the way I'm going to be. And over the past 20 years, the Spirit in me has been battling that desire. And it's two steps forward and sometimes one step back. But have I changed over those 20 years? Yes, I have. Am I still in a battle? Yes, I am. Does the Spirit give me strength daily? Yes, he does. And he's grown me in patience and joy and self-control and those other fruits as well. Of course, the Spirit can do more obviously spectacular things as well. God does heal people. We had a conversation at Tavern about miracles last year, and I'd be happy to talk more about that with you if that would be helpful. But please don't think if you're not seeing healings, you're not seeing the Spirit at work. That mother who's growing more patient with her kids, that worker who's growing in joy in spite of his circumstances, that person who's battling daily against their particular temptation, those are all examples of the Spirit's glorious work of transformation. So that's personal transformation. Second, church transformation. And by that, I mean us being changed together. This letter is written to a group of Christians, and it seems Paul's particularly concerned about how they relate to each other. So verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. And then verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Sadly, I could give you examples. I'm not going to because they're private and it wouldn't be helpful. But I could give you examples of times within our church family where there's been backbiting, where people have provoked each other, where people have said things that have upset others, where people have envied each other. But Paul doesn't just say, don't do that. He says that's not appropriate. Walk by the Spirit. He says the acts of the sinful nature include, verse 20, hatred, jealousy, dissensions, factions, envy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I've been vicar of St. Mark's and St. Peter's for over six years, and I won't ask whether it feels like more than that or less than that. But during those 6 years, I have seen a change. I've seen us growing in patience towards each other. I've seen us growing in gentleness. I've seen great acts of kindness. I've sensed a growing joy. And Paul says, keep walking by the Spirit. Pray that the Spirit would keep transforming us. Remember who we are together, sons and daughters of God with a future in the Jerusalem above. And as we do, the church will keep being transformed. And of course, God gives us individual gifts to serve the church, and we've talked about that often before. There's a reference on the handout if you want to follow that up. And they're given to us for the common good, not for our own upbuilding, but for the building up of the church, so that together in Christ we can do remarkable things. So that's church transformation. And then briefly, and I confess this isn't in the passage, but I think it's important, gospel proclamation. We've talked about this lots over the years, and it's the Spirit's main work, main focus of the Spirit's work in the Acts of the Apostles. So after Jesus returns to the Father, the Spirit continues the work of gospel proclamation through Jesus' followers. I just want to refer us to Acts chapter 4, which you can look at later, and address particularly those of us, probably all of us, who feel timid about sharing our faith. Peter and John have been put in prison and then released, and the followers of Jesus have realized they're going to face opposition as they proclaim the gospel. And they pray together, Lord, consider the threats of our opponents and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And then we read, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wouldn't it be great if that happened this afternoon? Maybe it will. As we ask him, the Spirit enables us to proclaim the gospel. He gives us courage and the words to say. Well, as we close, what does this mean for us who are Christians? Well, verse 25 again. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit by continuing in the battle against our particular temptation. Let us keep in step with the Spirit by loving each other and bearing with each other and forgiving each other. Let's keep in step with the Spirit by sharing our faith boldly. How do we do that? Well, we do it by God's word dwelling in us, reminding us who we are, reminding us we're adopted children with a glorious future, reminding us what it looks like to be God's children. And you might want to look up the reference from 2 Corinthians, which focuses on how gazing on Christ in the word changes us, how the Spirit changes us as we gaze on him. And we do it as we pray that we'd bear the fruit of the Spirit, as we pray that we'd walk by the Spirit, as we pray we'd be filled by the Spirit, increasingly under the influence of the Spirit. As we pray, Lord, give me joy, give me boldness, fill me with the Spirit that I might speak boldly of Jesus this week. Help me to battle against that temptation. Help me to walk by the Spirit in that way. And then we act confident that the Spirit is at work in us and through us. As we close, I want to encourage us to take a moment on our own, or maybe with the person next to us if we know them well enough to do this and we're not too embarrassed, just to think about these questions that are on the sheet. What are the temptations I'm battling against? What are the fruits of the Spirit I'd love to exhibit? How do we need the Spirit's help as we relate to and serve the church family? How do we need the Spirit's help as we proclaim the gospel? Just to think about that for a minute or so, and then to pray for the Spirit's help in those areas. So just take a minute, either on your own or with the person next to you, and then in a minute's time, we can pray.